Hey, Crosspoint, it's Pastor Matt, and this is our final week of our series, Almost There. This is it. It's the closing series. We're going to get there. We're not sure exactly quite where we're going, but we will find out by the ending of this series when we get there. It's awesome to be worshiping with you this morning in this final week of our series. And I wonder, just as we kick off our time together as we get going, I wonder a question. Have you ever felt that life just isn't fair? I think this is a problem that maybe we can all relate to on some level. At some point in time, maybe very recently, maybe in the past, maybe you've just kind of thought to yourself that life doesn't always seem that fair. Like maybe you've seen on Facebook, or maybe you've personally witnessed someone going through Hardee's and they find out that the person in front of them paid for their meal, and you're just like, how come no one ever pays for my meal at Hardee's? Whenever I go through the drive-thru, I go through to that place all the time, and you just wonder, how come life isn't fair there? Or you're always like entering yourself into those prize giveaways on Instagram. You tag your friends, you put it in your Instagram story, all these different things. And you're like, man, I never win the sweepstakes, but my friend always seems to win things, or they always enter into these different prize giveaways. They walk out with a prize almost every time. It just doesn't seem all that fair. Or maybe you even find yourself in that sort of thinking, like, you know, Billy always hops the fence. Every time Billy hops the fence, he gets to do whatever he wants. Things always go Billy's way. And I'm always that person that says, we shouldn't do this, you guys. We're going to get caught. And then the second that you hop the fence with Billy, you get caught. And then Billy just gets to do whatever Billy wants to do, right? And you're like, life just isn't fair. I know that recently, the youth group, well, not so recent anymore. It's like mid-October. Unbelievable how fast the fall is going, right? Early September, the youth group was going to do this fall kickoff that we called, I got to put the quotation marks in there, a legal graffiti party, okay? And basically what this meant was we were going to get a whole bunch of sheets of plywood together. We were going to build these big structures, and then we were just going to let the kids go crazy with all of this spray paint, and they were going to make really cool street art. And I quickly realized in the process of getting all this stuff together and getting ready that I didn't have enough supplies, okay? And I was talking to these people, and they were like, oh, you know what you need to do is you need to drive to this very specific store. And when you go there, you're going to have to drive to get there. But when you go there, like, you just tell them, hey, I'm a youth worker. I'm working with these kids. And will you give me a discount? And they will give you a discount. They give us discounts all the time. And I was like, oh, I should do that. But what do I say? And they're like, just be honest. Just tell them, hey, I'm a youth worker. I would like a discount on this, and they will give it to you. So I was like, oh, that's amazing. So I drove to this store, and I got all my supplies that I needed, and I walked up to the front counter, and I said, hi, I'm a youth pastor, and I'm working with these kids, and I heard that sometimes you guys give out different deals to people that do this type of thing, and so I was wondering, you know, what that looks like. And they were like, what? They just looked so confused. They weren't exactly sure how to take this, and so they were like, well, we'll just call a manager really quick and we'll get her up here. So the manager comes up and I say, hi, I'm a youth worker. I'm doing this with these kids. And the manager is like, we don't even give out military discount. We can't do this sort of thing. And I was like, is there like some sort of secret password that I'm supposed to say, or like some sort of phrase like, I'm a youth worker. Come on, help me out. What am I supposed to do? They didn't help me out. I had to pay a full price. How unfair. Some people have all the luck, right? How are these people always getting the discount at this store, but then I go there and I don't get it? Sometimes we feel like life just isn't fair, don't we? And we could probably all mention a story or two when it comes to this sort of topic, and we say, man, life is just really, really unfair. And some of the things that we say would be pretty light, like the stories that I was just telling. And some of the things that we would say would be just a little bit heavier. And we look a little deeper, and we start to feel like our issues go a bit deeper than just not getting your meal paid for at Hardee's or not winning that sweepstakes. And there can be this tension in how we feel and what we see, and we start to think that our world isn't fair. It's just not a just world, because if we're really, really, really being honest, sometimes it even seems like God isn't fair. Sometimes it even seems like God just doesn't care. And for some of us, we have in the past, or we currently struggle with this idea of whether or not God is even good, whether or not God is even involved in our lives. Because people pass away, right? Evil seems like it's allowed to carry on. Bad things happen to good people all the time. We train our kids in the way that they should go, and yet God still allows them to fall into these sorts of temptations. They still make bad decisions. And we're supposed to think, even in the middle of all of this, that God is right there working all things for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And there's this tension that exists inside that. And it becomes like a really big problem for a lot of people. And it actually, when it starts to take hold and that surface level thought starts to really build itself into our heart, we can start to develop this false impression of who God is. We can develop these misconceptions about the God we serve, and we start to think that explaining the existence of a holy God in the midst of a fallen world does things like justifies and rationalizes evil. In other words, it's saying that evil has a purpose, so it should be allowed to continue, and that's just how it is. And that's a misconception we can fall into. Or maybe we can think that it silences the voice of the sufferer. In other words, pain can't be expressed because it's not right to complain. God remains holy and just, even in the middle of that, so we really don't have any room to say anything. That can be a misconception that we can fall into. We can also think that maybe God is just evil, right? That God is malevolent or unable or unwilling to address evil, and that's a misconception. Or maybe we just think that God just doesn't exist. Like maybe he's just this happy thought that's meant to just help us cope with things. And these are all misconceptions and thoughts we can have when life doesn't seem fair. But nothing could be further from the truth, because God's not evil. His word doesn't silence the voices of the hurting. God is more than just a happy thought. We're not justifying evil. We might feel those things from time to time. We might even say those things from time to time and really wrestle with it. But when we look closer at God's word, we find several truths, when we really look deeply at it, that really cut against all of those misconceptions, all of those lies that the enemy can tell us, and it's important for us to go over them. And it's where we're going to spend our time today. When it seems like God doesn't care, when we're bogged down with thoughts that try to steal our confidence in who God is, it's important for us to remember several things. The first is this, that even in the midst of suffering, God is just. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 through 7, it says pretty straightforwardly, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. And this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Paul's talking about the promise of a God who is just in this verse. He's not talking about an evil God that doesn't seem to care about what happens to us. No, he begins by saying that God is just, which means that he is fair. But even more than this, the fact that God is just means that he is fair, but that also that he is righteous and that he is dependable. And there is a promise in this verse that has several layers to it that's important for us to unpack. Paul says in this verse that people who are evil, first of all, right, that's what he says, will be repaid by God. In other words, vengeance is his and he will deal accordingly with sin. He says that there will be relief for people that are going through a hard time. God is merciful. He's going to comfort those who suffer. And third, he says that the trials and suffering and persecution will end when Christ returns. Paul's saying, listen, you're going through a lot of hard times right now. In earlier verses, he's talking to the Thessalonians about their faith and the fact that they are really going through some major stuff. And some commentaries have said that he does this to help them work through some really unsettling forms of anxiety. He's encouraging them to continue forward and to persevere, even in persecutions. And he's talking to them about the fact that there is hope in the world through Jesus Christ and encouraging them to have faith in the promises of God. In these three things, right, that he will repay, that he will bring relief, and that Christ will come again. How many of us would say maybe today that we just get kind of anxious during hard times? I don't know about you, but man, I feel like sometimes if I even get like a sliver, right, I get kind of anxious, like, oh no, I'm going to have to remove that sliver. I know that sometimes when I think back about bones that I've broken and things like that, I get like this pain in my chest and I think, oh, I don't want to have to go through that again. I get kind of anxious. Sometimes when I think of even about losses that my family has suffered, where people have just passed away, I can start to lose focus. And maybe you feel this way too. Maybe there are times when you have suffered loss and this loss is just really just destroying your focus and you're having a really hard time persevering in your faith and maybe you feel really anxious about things or maybe even that God doesn't care when you go through those difficult things. We might not say that out loud, but really our actions kind of show it because we don't pray to the Lord and tell him about those things that we go through. We kind of just hold them close to us and we try to control everything like we talked about last week and we just sort of obsess and we worry about all of this stuff and whether or not God is actually going to do something or whether or not our situation can even change. But Paul, in these verses, is calling us to remember that when we go through hard times, that we serve a God that is so much bigger than those things. He's saying, hey, listen, remember what God you serve. God is just, and his character is revealed through the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the promise of his Son that he's going to come again. When we face worry, when we face that annoying thought that maybe we think that God doesn't care, that he has no plan, that we're just dust in the wind, we can look at passages like this and see that all things truly do work for good for those who are called according to his purposes, that God has some promises for us, even in suffering. And sometimes I think that we just think of God's justice in terms of what we can see presently. In other words, we think of it just in terms of what we can see in this current moment. Like someone passed away, or someone lost their job, or a pandemic hit people so much harder than they even deserved. And we think right in the here and now, and how much turmoil is going on, and how overwhelming that feels, and we just kind of miss the thought that God will repay trouble, that he will give relief to those that are hurting and that Jesus Christ will come again. And this is big picture thinking though, isn't it? It doesn't justify the existence of evil saying like, well, like it has to stay, Christ will come again. It's not justifying the existence of evil. It's looking ahead to the fulfillment of promises and it takes some faith. Paul mentions in earlier verses in 2 Thessalonians that he is amazed by the Thessalonians' faith and that this is the sort of endurance that's going to be their crown. Even in the midst of suffering, God remains just. Sometimes the enactment of his justice isn't on our timeline, but it is just and it will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Even in suffering, God remains just. But more than this, it brings us to our second truth today. Even in suffering, God can use our pain to show his purpose. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 7, to rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here Peter acknowledges, just like Paul, that we go through some hard times, right? He acknowledges that we go through trials. But this pain is not meaningless. And this is so important for us to catch, because the things that we go through in life are not without the ability of a just God to redeem. The different obstacles and trials and circumstances that we go through on a daily basis, sometimes it feels like forever, right? It's never going to end. Those things are not without the ability of a just God who is bigger than those things to redeem. God refines, he builds praise, glory, and honor when times get tough. That's what we just read. And here's where Peter is really going, right? He says that the revelation of Jesus Christ, we really don't have this unless we understand who Christ is and what he has done. Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that there is wisdom in knowing God through Jesus Christ, and that this wisdom is actually foolishness to the world. Right? In other words, they just don't understand the way that Christians think. And there's this idea that's like, well, people are going through hard times. There's divorce that's happening. People are treating other people unfairly. The world seems like it's just falling apart. And really what that means is it's just kind of bad luck. There's no hope in the world. God is really just this coping mechanism for you that's helping you get along. He's just this happy thought. They see it as foolishness. But the Christian looks on and says that we can rejoice in every season, in all circumstances, because we serve a God that doesn't will our pain, but has a plan to redeem it. And turn, like just like that song says, even to turn graves into gardens. In Christ Jesus, we have this perspective of refinement that comes through pain. Our passage of scripture says that it is refined by fire. There's actually this old hymn that talks about this. It's called God Leads His Dear Children Along. And in this hymn, there's this refrain that says, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. In every season, God is drawing you to himself. He leads his dear children along down different roads and in different circumstances, but he's always in control. And sometimes things don't really work out the way that we would like them to. But there are always things that are going on behind the scenes. God is at work and doing things. He's moving things around. He's shifting things. And what's so crazy is that it's not always about us. Sometimes God is shaping our character and our situation in a way that's going to bring him glory as we then go out and we share those experiences and we tell other people about Jesus. Sometimes the stuff that we go through isn't for us at all. It's for other people. Donald Barnhouse has this illustration where he says that suffering is actually a lot like learning a different language. Kind of an interesting thought, right? Suffering is a lot like learning a different language. Maybe you speak a different language, or maybe you're in the process of learning a language, and you just know, like, man, that is a struggle, because you have to learn all of the different intricacies of what's going on as language is carried out. You have to learn how to fit it together, how it works in context with other things, how to use it in conversation with other people. These are all challenges. You have to hold it in your brain and never let it go, right? It's tough to do that, to really memorize all of those things. But then you get to the ending of those things, and now you can speak to an entirely different audience than you could before. You have expanded the number of people that you can reach because you have learned a whole different way to communicate. And the reality in this becomes clear. That just like language gives us the ability to communicate with people who we otherwise would not understand, suffering gives us access to people we would have no connection with if not for those shared circumstances. And some of that refinement you experience as you go through hard times is meant for your ability to go out and tell other people about Jesus Christ. You know, we aren't silenced in our suffering. We use it as a voice to reach others who are hurting and allow God to refine us through that process. And maybe you've lost a parent or a grandparent, or you've had a child go through cancer or some really difficult developmental things. When you walk through that with them, it's really not easy, is it? Sometimes we feel helpless or we feel unable to do anything. We feel anxious about whether or not the right decisions are being made. Is this really going to help? Is it not going to help? We wonder maybe even like how God could allow something like this to happen. And through it all, we are refined by fire. And as we work through those things, we have the opportunity to praise God on the other side in a different way than we could before. When you walk through hard times, look for the movement of God. Allow yourself the time to lament when you need to and live fully into what He has placed in front of you. He's leading you along. He can use your pain to show you His purpose. God walks with us in those times. And know this, this actually leads us right into our third truth this morning. It's that God is always with us in our pain. God is always with us in our pain. Psalm 46:1 tells us that God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. God cares about our pain and those things that we go through. The psalm is telling us that when things happen, when life doesn't seem fair in the moment, God is our refuge. There's this image of a place of safety that really just can't be touched. You know, we started singing this song in recent weeks. It's called No Weapon by Pat Barrett, and it's all about this idea that God loves us, that God is a mighty fortress that we can't be torn away from. There's this imagery that's throughout it that is drawn from Psalm 23, where it's like, man, even though we walk through the darkest valleys, even when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, God stands with us. He prepares a place for us in the middle of the table that is of our enemies, right? God is right there with us the entire time. He is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. God is our refuge and our strength. And what a blessing that is to know that God is with us, that He walks through all of that with us, that He cares. And what this is really getting at is that we can run to Him. We can call out to Him in times of trouble. And when you feel like the whole world can't hear you, when you feel that no one understands what you are going through, when you're in the darkest valleys, God is there and you can call out to Him. And that's how we run to Him. We go to Him in prayer. Scripture says that we can cast any care on Him because He cares for us. It says elsewhere that His eye is even on the sparrow. And so we know that He watches us. Lift your voice to Him in the middle of sorrow, when you're going through hard seasons. Let Him know what's going on with you in your life and cry out to Him, even in your weakness. And know that in your weakness, He remains strong. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 tells us that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness, and therefore I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This verse is telling us that God stands as that strong tower and as that fortress, even in our weakness. It says that His grace is sufficient. And I love that we see this idea further, that we can talk about it. You know, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this, he's faced with a lot of different struggles. He's weak, he gets insulted, he's persecuted, he goes through different hardships. And yet, even in the midst of that, The Apostle Paul says that he can rejoice in it. He says he can boast in it. And what does that mean? Well, it means giving God the glory for the fact that, even though he's facing something that is way too much for him to handle, he can walk through it because God is giving him the strength to do that. And that's for us too. It means giving God the glory for the fact that even if we are facing something that is way too much for us to handle, that God walks with us through it all. And imagine how powerful that would be with friends and families and, co-workers and those friends that we have online if we did this. To say something like, you know what, life is really hard right now, but I know that my God is much bigger than all of those circumstances, than all of those different struggles that I'm going through. And I know that my God can carry me through even the darkest of valleys, and that everything, and I can look at everything that he is doing. I can look at everything that he has already done. And that's what it means to boast in it, to be outwardly expressing it, to be not hiding it, not holding it back. Man, we try to do that here at Cross Point all the time, to proclaim the goodness of God and the fact that, he has always been faithful, that we can be transformed through him. And we want to make sure we do that even as we go our separate ways into our different communities that we go to, or the different places we go, to proclaim that even in our pain, we serve a just God who stands right in the middle of it and stays strong even in our weakness. He stays strong when our faith fails us, when we feel like, I just don't have anything else to go on. I'm at the very end of my rope. He stays strong when we mess up, when we don't deserve grace. And he is gracious through it all. His grace is sufficient at all times. Let me tell you, man, there are, plenty of things that, God has spared me from that I think I actually deserved. And I wonder how many of you would say that very same thing. How many would say that, man, God has just been so merciful to me, even in my past life when I was making decisions that really should have led to some pretty big consequences, but God spared me from all of those things. He redeemed you. He's been gracious to you, just like he's been gracious to me. We see this in Psalm 103, 10 through 12, where it says that God has not dealt with us as our sins deserve, or repaid us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The truth is that we've all sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That there is no one who is righteous. And we honestly deserve a lot less than God grants us. The Bible says that he has not dealt with us as we deserve or repaid us according to every iniquity that we have in our lives. You know, we choose those things that we used to do. We choose those things that we still do. We have the free will to live as God has called us to live, but sometimes we really just abuse that free will and when we act in sin. In fact, it's safe to say that sin is really an abuse of the free will that God has given us. But thank God there is redemption. Praise God that there is freedom from sin, that he doesn't remember our sin, but instead he separates it as far as the east is from the west. And this is really, really cheesy. There's a lot of music today, right? Whenever I think of this, I always think about this band that was like really popular a long time ago. They're called Reliant K, and they had this line where they said that the beauty of grace is that it makes life not fair. And maybe this morning it's pretty logical. Maybe it's true, right? Life is actually just not that fair. But that's not all bad, is it? Because we get the grace that we don't deserve, because we serve a God that loves us, whose grace is always sufficient. God loves those who are his children. Those that fear him and know him are loved to high heaven. That's what scripture says, right? It tells us that as high as the heavens are above the earth. Maybe that's where that phrase comes from. There's so much hope for us in times of trouble. We can go to God with our problems. God shelters us. He loves us. God has mercy on us. And as Christians, we know that Christ is our victory. That leads us to our fourth point this morning, that even in suffering, Christ is our victory. The event of Jesus Christ coming and dying for our sins is one that it's more than just an event in history. It's a powerful reconciliation that removed the sin that was ours and provided a way for us to have access to the Father. Jesus came. He died on the cross for our sins. He faced all types of pain in his life. Sometimes it's painful to resist temptation, isn't it? But Jesus was tempted many times, and yet he never sinned. Sometimes it's painful to be pushed to the outside of the group, to be called a weirdo all the time, right? And said, like, you don't belong here. You're doing things that are just absolutely crazy. Jesus heard that all the time, and yet he didn't give in to the pressures of the Pharisees that were trying to get him to do things or to say things. Jesus bore the sins of the whole world. The Son of God, who was and is God in the flesh, went through pain, and he suffered loss, and he had victory. Jesus defeated the grave. He rose again. And now, in a world that is fallen, in a world that isn't fair, where there's a lot of different suffering and different trials, we can have that very same victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 lets us know, tells us to thank God because he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God meets us in our suffering. It stands as a refuge and a hope against even the lowest of valleys, and it happens through the victory of Jesus Christ. If you're going through trials right now, if 2020 maybe just hasn't been your year, and maybe you just feel like so overwhelmed, and maybe you are just struck with the thought that life is not fair, a lot of terrible things have been happening in your life, then maybe it's time to start thinking through some of this stuff a little bit more fully, to dive a little bit deeper into God's word and what it says, to take hold of that hope that's in Jesus Christ. Maybe you found yourself thinking some of those misconceptions even that we mentioned earlier, and you feel that your faith has just been shaken. That I want to encourage you to go to the Lord about this stuff. Christ is our victory over sin and death. When you face troubled times and feel that God doesn't care, challenge that narrative by looking for the work of God, looking to him as your shelter, knowing that God is just, his promises remain true, and that he is merciful. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, God, today is we reflect on these passages of Scripture, Lord. It's just so clear, Lord, that sometimes, even when we get locked in a way of thinking, Lord, a particular way that says that there is no hope, Lord, even when we struggle to find peace in our lives, and maybe we even struggle with faith, Lord, it's just so apparent, God, that you remain who you are in all circumstances, Lord, that you are a just God, Lord, who cares about the things that his children go through, Lord, that you are a just God who is merciful, Lord, who is loving and kind, Lord, a just God who has made promises in Jesus Christ, Lord, and you are faithful always in those promises. And God, today we just look to you as our hope. God, we look to you as our Savior in Jesus Christ. Lord, we look to you as the Redeemer, the one who can bring about healing. God, I just pray for each of us today, God, that we would have that sort of faith and that sort of restoration, God, to know that even when we walk through the darkest and the lowest of valleys, Lord, we don't have to fear any sort of evil because, God, you are with us. God, you go before us. You prepare a place for us, Lord, in the table of our enemies. God, you always care. Lord, we acknowledge that today, and we pray for healing. Lord, we pray for greater faith in our lives to face the challenges of this world. Lord, we pray for perseverance over all things. God, and we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray all these things in your name. Amen. All right, Cross Point, Well, it's been good to spend some time with you today. If you want to talk more about these things, you want to have more information about this subject, you can email us at info@crosspointnd.com. We'll see you next time.